Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chedi. I would like to read a couple of verses from the book of Romans, chapter 1, starting from verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And I'd like to scroll down to verse 14. For I am a debtor, both to Greeks and barbarians, to the wise and unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first, and also for the Greeks. That is a well-known memory verse. The entire book of Romans talks about the gospel, and there is a lot of misunderstanding today about what the gospel is. And I dare say that there are many people who think they're saved, who think that they heard the gospel, but what they heard was some other gospel that is not the gospel of God. So I would like to share a few truths from this particular chapter about what exactly is the gospel of God, that is the power of God unto salvation. The first thing that Paul mentioned was that he was a bondservant of Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Notice the language that he used. Later on he says, I am a debtor to preach the gospel. So he considered it an obligation. He started off the epistle by saying, I am a bondservant of Christ. Now, when the Bible translators were translating the Bible from Greek into English, there was a certain word which is doulos in the Greek. It means slave. And that word made the translators of the Bible very uncomfortable, because they didn't want to communicate the idea that the Bible condones slavery, or that we are slaves of Christ, or Jesus Christ called us to be slaves. They didn't like that. So they toned down the language and they put words like servant, bondservant. But a bondservant is really a slave. It is somebody who does not own his life, who is owned by somebody else. Paul is saying, I am a bondservant of Christ. I am called to be an apostle. I am separated to the gospel of God, and I am in debt. I have to preach the gospel. I don't have a choice. It is my obligation. It is what God requires of me. Notice that language. And contrast that with a lot of preachers today, especially pastors' kids who inherited their father's ministries. It cannot really be said of them that they are bond servants of anyone, slaves of anyone, that they are indebted to preach the gospel. They are more like entitled to receive some kind of position and compensation. So notice that the first difference is not in the gospel itself, but those preaching the gospel. You have Paul, who was separated unto the gospel, a slave of Jesus Christ, who was indebted to preach the gospel, versus a lot of modern day preachers who are entitled to some kind of position in the church. Indebted versus entitled. The second thing that we note is regarding the gospel itself. The gospel is concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What specifically about Christ? Well, he was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So specifically, it's talking about Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. So the gospel is specifically about Christ. And that is where a lot of modern gospels fall short. When Paul preached the gospel, Paul was somebody who was totally committed to God, a slave of Christ, indebted to preach the gospel. And the gospel he preached was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, we have preachers who are not indebted but entitled, and they're preaching not the gospel of Christ, but what I call the gospel of self-actualization. Let me explain. There's a very popular preacher on TV who smiles a lot. He preaches this nice feel-good gospel that tells you, you can be all that you can be in Christ. You could have your best life now. You could fulfill all of your dreams and your goals in Jesus Christ. And then he leads you in the sinner's prayer. If those guys on TV are the only people you've ever listened to, you will probably come away with the idea that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you will have a good day. Now I dare say that anybody who was saved through that probably is not really saved. Because for one, you didn't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible mentions nothing about a sinner's prayer, that if you pray this prayer, you will magically be saved. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of self-actualization. That is a gospel that promises, if you come to Christ, all your dreams, all your earthly goals will be fulfilled. Your life on earth will be all that you wanted it to be, all that you ever dreamed and more. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. God told Paul, come and let me show you the things that you must suffer for my name's sake. We must draw that distinction. If we have the gospel wrong, then we have salvation wrong. If you were saved, inverted commas, through a faulty gospel, a flawed gospel that is no gospel at all, then your salvation may not be genuine. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone he believes. So the fourth thing we hear about the gospel here, it is the power of God to salvation. Notice the language. Notice he is not saying, come and pray a prayer. If you repeated that prayer, then you've been born again. Notice that is not what Paul is saying. He is saying, it is the power of God to salvation. There is no place in the Bible where the gospel was preached and then they said to the people, you need to repeat this prayer. Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost. The people asked, what do we need to do to be saved? And Peter said, repent and be converted. He never said, repeat this prayer after me. My fear is that in all of these people repeating this prayer, we are giving them a false sense of hope. There are a lot of Christians who believe that they are saved simply because once upon a time they prayed a prayer. And there is not a single verse of scripture in the Bible that says, if you prayed a prayer, you would be saved. The language that the Bible uses is that the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation. That suggests that salvation is not just a flippant little prayer that you pray. Salvation is a miracle, and that miracle is something that changes you. And then the fifth thing about the gospel, it is to everyone who believes. And again, believing is not just mentally agreeing with something. But believing is putting your faith, putting your trust. It involves a certain element of surrender. And anyone who genuinely believes will have an experience called salvation, which is nothing short of a miracle. We've heard it said that salvation is a miracle. Well, what does that mean? If you are sick and you had a miracle of healing, would you expect your symptoms to still be there? No, you would expect that your symptoms would go, because the symptoms are a sign that there is a sickness. If you are genuinely healed, then you expect your symptoms to disappear. Similarly, if you are genuinely saved, you expect the symptoms to disappear. What are the symptoms? Sin, a sinful tendency, a self-centered life. All of those are symptoms of our degenerate nature. The proof that you have a regenerated nature is that you no longer live for yourself. You no longer love sin. The Bible talks about a man called Lot, who was not a perfect man. He was far from perfect, but the Bible said in the book of 2 Peter, his soul was grieved because of the sinfulness of the people around him. True salvation follows the same pattern of Jesus Christ. We talked earlier that the gospel is about Christ's life, death, and resurrection. True salvation follows that pattern of Christ's death and resurrection. Just like Jesus died and was resurrected from the dead, we die to sin and we are resurrected to newness of life. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us to bring about that life-changing transformation that occurs when we are born again. Genuine salvation that comes from hearing the true gospel is supposed to result in a transformation. It doesn't make you perfect right away, but it is supposed to transform you. And I fear that there are many Christians, many people who think they're Christians, they're just churchgoers listening to me, who think that they're saved, but they've never had a transformation. They've never had any clear evidence that they've been regenerated. There's been no change. Imagine if you step into an airplane. You expect that within a short period of time, that airplane is going to go from the ground into the air. You expect that. That's the purpose of an airplane. It doesn't take you to your final destination immediately. It takes a while to do that, and there may be turbulence along the way. But it's in the air. If you're in a plane and 2 hours later it's still on the ground, then that means something is wrong. A plane is supposed to be in the air. The ride may be bumpy, the ride may be smooth. The ride may take long or the ride may be short, but you're in the air. You're not supposed to be on the ground. If your salvation is genuine, there's supposed to be a change. You're not perfect, but there's supposed to be a change. My question to you is this. When you were saved, was there a transformation? Or did you just believe in a false gospel because it sounded good to you? Well, how do you know if you believed a false gospel? Well, I could tell you very easily. Are you serving God because you expect God to give you something in this life? Now, don't get me wrong. It is good to have blessings in this life. God does give us blessings in this life. But are you a Christian, a church member, or serving God so that you could get some kind of earthly blessing? If your answer to that question is yes, chances are you have believed in the false gospel of self-actualization that is being preached today. Does your commitment to God waver depending on your life circumstances? Now, our emotions may waver. You will be happy when you're blessed. You may be sad when you're going through trials. That is expected. Your emotions will always be a roller coaster. But your commitment to God, does that waver? Does that go up and down based on your life experiences? Are you eager to serve God when you're blessed, but backsliding when you're down? If so, that may be evidence that your plane is still on the ground and that your plane has never taken off. That may be evidence that your salvation is not real. The Bible says that we should examine ourselves if we are in the faith. Genuine salvation is supposed to produce fruit. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. It is something that is supposed to change you. My question to you, have you been changed? I'm not asking you if you're perfect. I'm asking you, has there been a change? If not, then call upon God. Cry out to God. The Bible said, whosoever calls upon him shall be saved. Not who repeats a flippant little prayer. Call upon him and ask God to do that genuine miracle of salvation in your life. God bless you. We'll talk more about this
next
time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induo Rampal Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.